everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Yo, Mega Maniacs, thank you for joining us here on Mega Powers Radio for the most interactive post-Raw experience available, the Raw Post-Show, where we invite you to join the conversation in all different types of ways all throughout the show. We're going to be starting the phone lines up around 11:30. If you want to get yourself in line, go ahead and pick up your phone, dial area code 760-512-7247. Get yourself in line nice and early and get your voice heard right here on the show. But if you are impatient, you can go ahead and jump into the chat room where we already got lots of cool folks hanging out. Shout out to the people who got here nice and early. Five times combo. Back out. Ferris419. Chaotic. Silence Gooned. Wazili. And Silent Wind of Doom. You can almost make a music out of that at this point. Lots of rhymes going on in there. Of course, we also have Twitter open for y'all, at Raw Post Show. The Mega Maniacs group is open to y'all as well. If you want to put some stuff in there, we'll get it onto the show. Most interactive post-Raw experience available. We have that name for a reason. Not the most attractive Raw Post Show.
But that's true as well.
Sure. All right, guys. We had an awesome Raw tonight. It came from England, and they usually go pretty hard when they're over there for these shows, and I think they delivered another excellent show tonight. I'm excited to talk about it. I actually have a lot of notes about it, too. I think this is a good thing. A good thing indeed. And I'm excited to hear what everyone out there has got to say about it as well. So use those avenues. In the meantime, we're going to start with the host that we have here, introducing who we got. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio. With me tonight, got the full cast. First off, the leader of the Drew Crew, Mr. Drew White. What's shaking, Drew?
Not much, but shaking on your end.
Chocolate milk, I hope. All that stuff. Gotta shake it up, though.
Hang on, shake it up. Is it the one where you have to pour the chocolate syrup in, or is it like Nesquik where it's like the powder, or is it just you buy chocolate milk straight up?
No, you just buy the chocolate milk.
Okay, good.
You buy like the gallon jug.
Good, because the powder sucks, and the syrup is okay.
Yo, only if you don't know how to mix it like a man.
How do you do that?
Like a man. Moving on, we also have the host of Unanimous Decision MMA, addicted to anime, Huego Rant, and I'm sure knows how to mix his chocolate milk like a man, Mr. Steven Huego.
Yo.
Okay. Hey, thanks for bringing some great commentary to this. From across the pond, who must have felt very at home with tonight's show, Mr. Sean Walker.
I drew a line for you. It was yellow.
Copeland. Okay. Not really getting anything from you guys tonight. Let's see what we got from the last person we got here, the main man of Smart Out Moment, Fanboys Anonymous, and maybe out on limbs. Who knows how much longer that's going to be, Mr. Tony Mango.
I am outraged that nobody has mentioned the best chocolate milk, and that is the bottles of Yoo-Hoo. Ugh. Specifically the bottles, by far the best. Well, fuck mixing it. I just want to have it already done, open up the bottle, drink that shit down.
Gaping hole in that, though, Tony.
What's
Yoo-Hoo
that?
Yoo-Hoo isn't chocolate milk.
All right, it's chocolate drink or whatever. But if you can get a cameo in the fucking Daredevil series, which kicked ass, you get a lot of extra credit.
But Yoo-Hoo is in it?
Yeah. There's literally a scene where somebody's drinking Yoo-Hoo.
You know who would know something about milk? Time Cow.
Oh.
You know there's a milkman? Was there a chocolate milkman?
I don't know. Speaking of Time Cow, hopefully we're going to get more development on that case. Hopefully we'll hear from Cliff Clefton. Also, from what I understand, Jeff or John or whatever his name he's going by these days apparently wants to call out and make a rap battle tonight. So we have lots of stuff coming up on this show. Also want to start reminding all y'all out there, next week, live here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, we are going to be doing our Fantasy League draft. So we're going to be picking our teams for the next calendar year going through to WrestleMania. Always a fun time with that. And, you know, it's going to be influencing the next year that you hear us talking about on Smack Talk and here, whenever you hear us taking shots at that. Those are our Fantasy League teams, and we're going to be picking them next week. So make sure you're here for that and stay tuned for all that other stuff. In the meantime, let's get talking about Raw here, guys. As I said, I think it was a good show. What is the number one thing, though, that you guys took off this show, Drew?
Number one thing I took off the show was, like, you kind of mentioned it, the England crowd was more vocal than last week's, that's for sure. But I don't know if I liked the England crowd that much tonight, other than the Fandangoing stuff. Like, it was okay, but
it got to be a little much at points.
Yeah, a little bit too, like, indie. I think that's what the issue is sometimes. I don't know about that, but just, you know, sometimes it gets a little annoying when it comes to some of their chants. But overall, I thought it was a fantastic show. I didn't get to see the first 30 minutes. I came in halfway through the Battle Royal with the Divas. So everything after that was good to great. I really enjoyed it.
Wago, how about you?
Whilst you mentioned that it's somewhat an indie fan base, Drew, at the same time, they weren't to the point where they were being dicks about it. If you were a good enough promo, you could convert them halfway through. John Cena did it. Roman Reigns did it to some degree. So I think it was a solid solid crowd that came out tonight, and they made the show more interesting to me, because there's nothing more that I hate than watching a quiet crowd on television. It just takes me out of it.
You, Sioux City, Iowa.
Yeah, the fuck.
Or North Carolina, wherever the hell they were at.
If I had to take away anything, it would be that we got a lot of good wrestling on television tonight.
Oh, yes, we did.
And hats off to John Cena. It seems like he has the best match of the night for the most part each week now. I'm loving this U.S. Open thing.
Oh, yeah, but the guy sucks. Five moves, that's it.
Yeah, five moves, except, you know, he has more moves.
No, no, he has a six move now. It's that springboard stutter.
No, but he had to get rid of one of his moves.
Yeah, I think he's getting rid of one of the shoulder blocks.
He got rid of the bigger one. He's getting older. He's got to lighten up a little bit, so he got rid of the bigger one.
Yeah, you don't want to, like, overwork yourself.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sean, what about you? What's the number one thing you took away?
Again, the crowd. I love the crowd. It reminded me of a good old-fashioned soccer crowd.
Quotations. Have you had the pleasure of being a part of a crowd like that, whether for wrestling or soccer?
Soccer, yes. Wrestling, no. On the 30th of April, I'm going to the darts, so I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna be awesome.
Do you think there's gonna be a rowdy crowd at the darts?
It always is.
Really? No shit.
All the time. Dude, Google it.
You gotta post some videos of, like, crazy dart audiences in the Mega Maniacs, please.
I will do.
I have to see some crowds losing their shit to some darts.
Yo, motherfucker, did you see it? He threw the shit out of that dart.
Yeah, but the darts is always great because, you know, the crowd are drunk most of the time. So
here's the issue, though, with darts. The guys that play are always, like, douchebags wearing bowling shirts with huge collars and always got their top button open and their hairy chest sticking out. Fuck those fat fucks.
And how do you watch that as, like, a crowd? Because, like, I think about how, like, small a wrestling ring looks when I'm, like, in an arena. Like, how are you watching a dartboard?
I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there.
Okay. All right.
Don't stop, Chad.
I could imagine the crowds doing that thing that they do with the kicks and stuff, where, like, the guy's getting ready to throw the dart, and they're like,
And Tony, round us out. What would you take away tonight?
Tonight was a night where a couple important things happened, and the rest was filler. And there's nothing really offensive, nothing really, like, horrible that had happened, although I think it kind of dragged along, and a couple good things were peppered in, but for the most part, this show felt like a couple bullet points, and the rest was just kind of extra.
Wasn't that Raw?
Yeah, to an extent, but I don't know. Maybe because it was on the tape delay and they ended, like, right on time. You could tell that the editing was kind of a little different. Mm. I don't know, something felt off to me.
Anyone else feel that way? Because I got to say, I'm we had someone in the Mega Maniacs group earlier saying that anytime they do a tape show that it's a lame show, and I absolutely disagree. Maybe in some cases when it's like a United States show, but anytime they do these England shows, they almost always go hard body for these. And I think they did that tonight. Well, Wago, what do you think?
The only time you have a bad show that's taped is if you've booked it badly, and it's still the same show. The only reason it should be ruined for you is if you've gone and looked up spoilers.
Well, and that's a point I kind of wanted to get to. Like, I always avoid the spoilers, especially for something that's happening, like, hours later. Now, Tony, I know you have an excuse you can't avoid because you have to do your reporting for your website. But for anyone else listening out there, I mean, if you're going and reading spoilers, you're doing it to yourself. And if that's what's ruining it for you, then that you have a self-control problem.
Right.
That's not a problem with the show.
Patience is a
virtue. It's like all of Game of Thrones has been leaked, but Peyton hasn't ruined it for himself.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm certainly not watching that. And you know, the thing with Game of Thrones especially is that that's leaked. And the thing is that the leaks are like shoddy quality. They're like as if you were watching it on a VHS tape.
Did you hear that somebody wins the Game of Thrones?
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah. I hear they win in like the last round.
Huh. Do they win that King of the Ring chair that they had at the 2001 King of the Ring?
They might have. I don't know. I know they got that scepter.
You wonder? You're the only time I really don't like tape shows is when they edit it to the point where it's just weird. And by that, wait, I mean,
you mean SmackDown?
SmackDown. You know, I haven't watched a full episode of SmackDown in like a year now.
Oh, every once in a while, you can watch a match on SmackDown, and it's just butchered.
The biggest issue that SmackDown did, and I've counted several times when they've done it, it was around the time where Batista was the World Heavyweight Champion, and his entrance, he's wearing different attire to what he wears in the ring. They were splicing different Batistas out of old footage and sticking it in there. For what reason, I don't know, but it's like, he's wearing white. He was wearing black before.
I bet you they didn't want to pay for pyro that night.
Ooh. Oh, shit. You know, that's probably it.
Yeah.
You know what else is a little odd about tape shows? When you can tell that they've dubbed in the audience.
Like, oh, yeah.
Nobody's making any, ruckus or anything, and they're like, going crazy, yeah. And you could tell that the crowd's just kind of like sitting on their hands and just.
I noticed at two points tonight that happened. That happened two times tonight that I noticed. The first time was I think when Ryback was doing the Feed Me More chant, it didn't even look like anyone was doing the chant with him, and it looked like they piped that in or something. And then the other one was when Seth Rollins was just laying in his Lazy Boy, and then like you could only hear like a fan shout something, and no one else saying anything.
Oh, that one fan! You're a coward.
You just want to headbutt him, then you just want to grab him by the collar and just headbutt his fucking nose just to shut the fucking dude up.
I thought you were saying something that he looked weird or something, so that's why you wanted to headbutt his nose. Like, what? I was confused, like, what was wrong with his nose for the longest time.
I just want to say one thing about the Ryback thing. I think that's a permanent part of his track. I think that's there every week, that piped in Feed Me More part, to get the crowd started.
Oh, so he's like a Goldberg now. You know, actually, I think they do, sometimes they might do it. Like, I think when they were in wherever they were at last week, I think they did it and it seemed pipe in. But tonight, they just looked like they edited it over because there was no one cheering for it. And I don't know if, what the process of editing this show was compared to, like, a SmackDown. Because SmackDown, they have, like, 2 days to do the editing compared to, like, the few hours beforehand. So, do you guys know how much editing they actually go for when they do taped Raws like this?
As much as they want.
Mm. As much as they can, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. They have a big team.
Okay. See, I didn't know.
They've got Kevin Dunn leading, so the possibilities are endless.
The problem isn't so much what can they do. The problem is what decisions are they going to make in that timetable. That's the more problematic thing.
Because it's a rush decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
rather than like sleeping on something or deliberating over it maybe like, all right, let's try it this way, and this way, and see which one we like best. It's like, all right, let's do this thing and move on.
Yeah. You know what the one thing you could tell that it didn't pipe in anything for was that Fandango chant?
The crowd went nuts for that. One of my favorite moments of the night.
Yeah, that was smart for doing, like, getting that started in England, because out of all the crowds that would do it, it's England.
Either that or the WrestleMania crowd.
You can't just decide to book a WrestleMania crowd.
Oh, the Raw after winners. My bad.
All right, well, no, we're bouncing around a lot of different topics here. Let's actually get into something let's go from the start of the show, because I think there's lot of big topics here. I don't know if there's one big thing I want to talk about. Show started with the show intro. They're actually making that a regular thing again, so good on them. I actually like the intro that they put together, too. The only thing I don't like is they did that cheesy thing where, like, whenever they say a word, they put something, like, literal there for that word. Like, I think there's a part where they say the truth is, and then they, like, have our truth show up. You know what annoyed me? They did that for WrestleMania, too, where they did America the Beautiful. Did you notice that?
No.
It was like, for purple mountains, and the purple mountains show up. Across the fruited plains, and it had, like, some, like, barley or something showing up.
It's because Americans can't understand words, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah, they had their typical London set with the taxi cab and the phone booth, which I can't imagine either of those things are still around over there.
The black cabs are.
Phone booths, you can still find them. They're just a rarity.
People sleep in them nowadays when they can't afford a taxi home.
Yeah, normally, because like where I live out in the sticks up back in England, and we've got one around there, but normally people just piss in it and throw bricks through it.
Now, I have a question. Doctor Who has trained me to think that the phone booths are blue.
Well, Doctor Who fucking sucks, so that's your first problem.
Doctor Who does suck. I know, I don't watch Doctor Who. I just know that thing is blue.
The police box is blue. It's not an actual phone box. It's a police box.
It's a police box. Mm-hmm.
It's a retardus.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I wasn't around in the 70s and the 60s.
He gets in a box with the word tard. That's the problem.
Well, all right then. Our show began with John Cena coming out to a boisterous crowd. It's beginning with the John Cena sucks chants. One of my favorite chants. Always a fun one to be a part of, I got to say. When we got to do that at the Royal Rumble, I was dying to be a part of a crowd that did that fervorously, and they did it that night, and the crowd did it again tonight as well. But Cena manages to win them over eventually they warm up to him, and they're pretty much bouncing back and forth depending on what he's saying and who he's bouncing off of. He once again puts out his open challenge for the U.S. title, which is answered this week by Wade Barrett, coming out as the hometown boy, the home country boy, getting a tremendous reaction from the crowd. He even comes out, he's like, thanks, but I didn't even do anything yet.
He's honest.
Yeah. These guys had a great match, I would say. Very competitive U.S. title match. Wade Barrett hitting all of his big moves, getting some really close three counts. I didn't necessarily expect him to win, but you never know. And it was in England, and they did give a lot of big wins tonight to some English people here. Unfortunately, though, it was not Wade Barrett's night. He could not pick up the win. John Cena got the victory, but didn't end there. We hear Rusev's music, but who comes out but Lana, who got a huge reaction as well. I mean, I think she would have pretty much anywhere she went, but since she's been away from TV for a while and they were England, they were happy to see her.
She gave me a huge reaction.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Built the bot.
She starts talking long enough to distract Cena as Rusev attacks him from behind with a chain, and then Lana informs him that their match at Extreme Rules is now going to be a Russian chain match.
Woo! That's the match I was looking forward to seeing. Yeah.
I was really hoping for the Bulgarian chain match, but this is okay, I suppose.
The Mexican chain match would have been good, too.
Well, the thing is that there's some, like, exporting laws from Bulgaria, so I don't know if they could get the chain from there. We're on better terms with Russia right now.
Could have done the United States chain match just to keep it plain and simple.
No. I don't know what particularly a Russian chain match is. I think there's got to be something specific with the rules here.
It happened before, didn't it?
It did happen before. They had one with Bruno Sammartino, and I believe they said Ivan Koloff.
Yeah,
but flag matches happened before, and they still changed the fucking rules of that, too.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll do that here. I don't know. I'm open-minded to it, because, you know, it's something different. It's not something they do very often. Chains actually play a part in John Cena's career back from his rapper days. Yeah. He always had chains involved with him.
And he just brought it back for the Brock Lesnar feud, too.
Yes, he did. So I think this is an appropriate way to do what I would assume would be the final match between these two, the rubber match. And I think this is probably going to be another John Cena victory, unfortunately. But what do you guys think about everything that went down with this tonight?
I'm in a different boat to you, as I'm actually perfectly okay with Cena winning, because this has been some of the best television out of John Cena and in the company right now. I've not enjoyed John Cena this much probably since his first year wrestling Chris Jericho and Christian on Raw. So this is something new for John Cena. It's refreshing. He's going out there and having good matches. I mean, you can't argue with that. If you find fault in it, you're just a douchebag and you should go eat some Cheez-Its.
Well, no, I don't have a problem with that. I just feel it's an unfortunate ending for Rusev. That's why he's getting the shit end of the stick here.
Well, we all knew eventually so he was going to get fed to Cena, so I'm not too upset about it. It's, when you see something coming, it's never as bad.
Drew, what do you think about this?
Like I said, the top show, I didn't get to see the first 30 or so minutes.
Oh,
so
well,
I
fuck you then.
Well, no, I was going to say...
John?
Me? I thought the John Cena Wade Barrett match was the match of the night. And I agree with Wago. I don't want to see Cena lose the title because this has been, I think, his best run in years.
Oh, yeah.
For the WWE. And I honestly don't think it's a bad thing Rusev's going to lose if he does lose. I think he'll go on towards the IC title more.
It might be something they do. I think a feud of him and Daniel Bryan would be interesting to watch. Tony, write us out on this one.
The match was good with Barrett and Cena. Better than the matches that Rusev's had with Cena. I didn't like their Fastlane one. Didn't like their WrestleMania one. Doubt that I'm going to like this one at Extreme Rules, and that's partially because I don't like chains matches. If it's anything close to a strap match, those are very difficult to pull off. But at the very least, thank God it's not what I was expecting it to be, which is a last man standing match, because, man, I am fucking sick and tired of John Cena last man standing. Any matches, so you know, that's a positive, and it's, you know, kind of a negative too, because it could have been a better thing. I mean, I would have much rather preferred a false count anywhere match, but I'm gonna be kind of skipping past this a little bit on Extreme Rules and not really look forward to it. I have nothing that really makes me think that I'm going to enjoy it after the last two matches and with the stipulation, but I do agree that the U.S. Open Challenge thing that he's been doing has been very entertaining, so I kind of want to just, like, move past Extreme Rules in general and just go with who's the next feud for him.
All right, folks. With that, we're going to start opening up the phone lines for you to call in. Once again, that number to get yourself in line on the Raw Post Show on MegaPowersRadio.com is 760-512-7247. Again, that's 760-512-7247. Get your voice heard live on the air on Mega Powers Radio. And with that, we're going to take our first caller. Gosh, I don't even know what name he's going by this week. Let's just go ahead and bring on this caller. Hey! Jeff?
Hey.
Jeff?
Hi.
What?
What?
Oh, whoops. Here we go. Jeff? So I got you?
Riveting.
There he is. Jeff, you there?
Yeah.
Oh, there you are. How you doing this week, dude?
How y'all doing?
We're doing tremendous. You know, we're always happy to be here on the Raw Post Show. What'd you think about Raw tonight?
It was pretty good. I enjoyed, you know, especially the novel match in Ziggler.
Oh, yes, that match was fantastic. Those two put on quite the clinic. An excellent showing for the young NXT talent coming up. What else did you think? I mean, did you enjoy any of the crowd reactions tonight?
Oh yeah, especially with Kane going babyface. he's almost there.
Yeah. I mean, he's not quite getting the reactions of someone like Sting, but he's getting there.
Dang!
Oh, goodness gracious. So,
not him.
What else is on your mind tonight?
Well, listen, guys.
Yes.
My name is not Jeff.
Okay, not Jeff.
Now, if you are going to keep calling me Jeff, I'm not. My real name is John. If you're not calling John not Jeff, please at least call me not Jeff.
John not
did
Jeff.
Did that make?
Oh no, it's kind of a gross name.
It is a really gross name.
No, listen. I'm being honest, guys. My name is John.
Uh-huh.
But you're calling me not Jeff.
But you told us your name is not Jeff.
Yeah, your name's not Jeff.
Mm-hmm. You said it. It's many times.
It's not Jeff. It's John.
Yeah, you just said it again. Yeah, it's not Jeff.
Is it? Oh, okay. I give up, guys. You know,
I'm sorry, Jeff.
We forgive you.
Listen, okay, you guys, what I've been really wanting to do is get a hold of that imposter. He is such a piece of shit. Crap. I am going to tell you my emotions. I am going to rap. They don't call me MC Snarf.
Oh, shit. All right, that's right, now, folks. I almost forgot we were getting the battle rap challenge here.
Now, do you have JD on the line? Is there any of the JDs on?
Yeah, we do got a caller from the 412. You want me to bring him on for you?
Yes, I want my client to be here, please.
Okay, well, I wasn't ready. I'm not like a WWE where I just have everybody's entrance music queued up here. all right, I think I got it here. Let's bring on JD. JD, you there, bro?
Yeah, how's it going tonight, Michael? How you guys doing?
That is not the real JD. That's the imposter. How dare you? I am so going to tear you apart, you stupid piece of shit.
Mike, I don't know what's going on here. What's going on? What is this?
He's the imposter.
I don't know. Jeff said
for this kind of abuse, however.
Now Jeff said they wanted to battle rap you and they wanted to call you out, so
yeah.
I brought you on.
A rap battle? You want to do a rap battle with me?
Yeah,
you don't know.
You're from Pittsburgh. That's the home of Will Smith. You should know a thing or two about it.
Nice clean rap.
Yeah,
I'm not even prepared for this. Well, you know, okay, you can speak your mind to me. I'll get into Raw after this, but before you. Before you tell me your rap battle, can I say a few words, please?
Yeah,
just a few.
All right. Here we go. Do you mind if I lay down a beat, do you?
Okay. You just got flagged for copyright.
Let's just freestyle here. Okay, guys? Here we go. Challenge me to a battle? You better think twice. I'm taking off my gloves. I'm not going to play nice. You say you're not Jeff, but you're really a snarf. When I hear your voice, it makes me want to barf. You're just like Raw with the words that you spout. It's the same old crap, week in and week out. Every time you call in, the show goes south. Just a bunch of garbage doing out of your mouth. To match wits with me, you gotta be clever. You can't always repeat the same thing. However, I think that maybe you're the one that killed the cow. You should do us all a favor and hang up now.
Whoa!
Oh my god.
Oh. Is he there? You have
no.
Something to say about that?
Oh, shit.
No, you scared him away.
You defeated Snow.
Did he hang up?
He hung up. Yeah, good for
okay,
you.
Well, if he calls back, I'll give him another piece of my mind. But I'm sorry I had to do that, Michael.
Snarf has been defeated. MC Snarf has been defeated. I can't believe
sorry
this is just
that.
Happening, guys.
This might be some 8 Mile shit.
Can we get into Raw a little bit, however?
He was just a young star. If you didn't have to go that hard on him.
Does this count as two deaths this month on this show?
I don't know if we really should go into the in memory type of thing with him, so I think we're fine.
Okay. Well, I guess in the meantime, yeah. JD, what do you think about Raw tonight?
I thought it was a pretty good show. However, you know, it was on a tape delay. They were coming from the UK tonight. However, the Barrett versus John Cena match kicked off the show. That was a pretty good match. However, at the end of that, we saw the stipulation being set for the match. It's going to be a Russian chain match. So I guess we'll find out what the specifics of that are going to be. I'm looking forward to it. However, you know, we'll see what it's going to be like. A couple other good matches. You know, there was Cesaro versus Orton. We had Dolph Ziggler. Let's see. We had a bunch of matches. The Battle Royal with the Divas, I thought, was pretty good. I'm glad that Paige came out on top of that because she's the one who deserves it the most now, in my opinion, however.
Mm-hmm. On top.
We had Bray Wyatt cut another nonsense promo, however. We're not sure exactly who he's talking about. I'm pretty sure I have an idea, but I don't know. We'll find out soon. We had a tag match. Roman Reigns cut a promo. That was pretty interesting, however. We had Adam Rose and Ambrose. That was kind of forgettable. With the Kane and a Big Show, had, you know, kind of segment backstage. Uh-huh. We had the Seth Rollins versus Kane. They wanted Kane to just lay down, and that's just a bunch of bullshit. The Authority and their little butt boys, they just need to get them off of TV. However, it's just one of those things. They played this storyline out forever, and I'm sick of hearing it.
Yeah, fucking people who just don't know when to fucking end stories and just keep them going on and drag them forever and ever. Fucking is nothing worse than that.
Exactly, however. Now, probably my match of the night would have been Ziggler versus Norville. I thought that was a good match. I thought, you know, they both put on some really good moves, and I enjoyed that very much. Overall, I thought it was a decent Raw. I'd probably give it a 3 out of 5 rating on that one. But, you know, I don't know. What did you guys think?
We thought it was actually a pretty damn good show. I mean, I thought they always go pretty hard when they're over there in England and give us a pretty damn good show as they did tonight. We have a little bit of varying opinions here. I know Tony is a little more sour on it than the rest of us, but I think even he has to admit that it was a good show tonight as far as Raws go. So I think we're all in the positive here.
All right. Now if that not Jeff or John or whatever he's calling himself, if he calls back in, you bring him on, because he said he was going to rap battle me, and he didn't say anything. He just hung up.
Okay, yes, he's here. So let's bring him back in here. John, Jeff, John, not Jeff.
Is he here?
I'm John. JD, hello, fake JD. I hope you're ready, bitch.
Oh, what is this? Oh, you gonna bring it on? Okay, let's hear what you got.
First one, all right. This one, JD, that's real. This one, that is fake. The fake one's a piece of trash. He never gets a date. As a little annoying set one in the show, but when I show up, I'm gonna give him a throw. I hear he gets off the 30 stuff and he plays in his room. He's learned that down there from Silent Wind of Doom. He's the guy that wants attention. He is. You know, Silent Wind of Doom. You could be the real JD. You're not a real one, Tony. You should be the standard. Ladies, stay away from him because he may be scary. You like to take off your clothes because you're just as hairy. You're certain people being born down on the highway. You must have been born on the grocery store layway. You have an obsession for stick rounds and butt boys. You don't have a girlfriend. You only have points. And now you're scared of me? Well, that's just fine and dandy. Me and you will fight because I got my tools in handy. And now you and the girl want to be in the ditches while you two are perfect for each other. Fuck with your bitches. And Mike, by the way, is not Jeff, and she's not Jeff. She impersonated me.
I think you broke your cell phone there.
You're right.
That was pretty good. When I get on the show, he's going to hurt, because if you call again, I'll give you the last ride. I don't like impulsive because they're always faker. I watch SummerSlam 94. He's not real life faker. You play all the time. It just gives me an egg. You check all your food. Your favorite food is bacon. If you're on the phone, you sound like you're in the freezer. This cold ass should get a job down at Little Caesars. Monday's always a crazy night when you're around. But the real JD will be there to get you back down. The Mega Power 3 is an awesome show. He just doesn't
it rough. You think you're a cool guy and you're just a nerd? Well, you're not the real Janie. You're nothing more than a turd. You're the root of all evil. You like to jerk. Your banana got hard when you saw Miley Cyrus twerk. You talk on your phone like you're talking to a wall. You're an opportunist whenever you want to call. You want to be like Janie because you hate the real one's guts? Well, your mother blew silent when the fumes monkey nut. This is the end of my rap, but I want one more thing to say. You couldn't even impersonate me, even on my best day. War.
All right, JD, you got anything to say to that?
No. Will you please allow me to retort?
Yeah, go ahead.
I do have something to say in response to that.
Oh, okay.
All right, let me drop the beat here. Uh-huh. I'm getting into the groove. You know I spend some funky time. All right, here we go. You ready?
Jesus Christ.
Here we go. Rap battle with me. Man, what were you thinking? You open up your mouth and your breath starts stinking. I can't believe that you and I used to be friends. I bet you smell worse than Jerry Lawler's Depends. Your gimmick here is over, but not like Daniel Bryan. You come to challenge me and you're gonna leave crying. I don't know what you're saying. Just a bunch of noise. You're worse than the authorities and all their butt boys. Pitiful rhyme. That's all that you got. Last name Jeff. First name not. You're weaker than the weakest diva on the roster. We should go away and take a fake imposter.
Oh, shit.
Mike? Mike?
Yeah?
Mike?
Yes?
I want the real JD to call. I want my client.
I am the real JD.
I am
the real JD.
He's right there, according to me. As far as I know, I mean, If you mean the other JD, I can't make him call. You have to find him. You're his client. Don't you have his card?
This is bullshit. I'm not going to take crap from both the imposter, however, and not Jeff now. They're both going to crap, however. They don't deserve this. I'm sorry, Mike, but we're not going to be able to do Ask JD tonight. I'm just too up.
Oh, no.
I have to go. I'll talk to you next week. No, this is ridiculous. You need to get him off the air. This is ridiculous. I'll talk to you next week.
Well, all right. That was quite an intense battle rap, I got to say. John, do you have any parting words before we let you go?
Yeah, about Monday Night Raw. I think that for once I'm going to have to agree with the imposter, JD. The Ziggler-Neville match was pretty good.
Oh, okay, that's fantastic.
The high point will be Ziggler versus Neville, and the low point's got to be Kane and Seth Rollins.
Oh, yeah, that was an awkward segment. All right, man, we got to keep moving along here, but that rap battle was intense. Honestly, you must have put a lot
Thank
of time into writing
Thank
all those
much.
Funky, fresh rhymes.
What's
up?
Have you still found out the search for the time count?
We're still waiting to get some leads on that. We do have the best man on the case that we can get, and hopefully we're going to have some answers for that very soon,
right,
or at least
I'll
find some.
I'll still be listening in tonight.
All right.
I'll be listening in.
All right. Well, maybe we'll hear from the other JD as well, or who knows what's going to happen. We still got a lot of show left here, but you have
and
a good night, Jeff.
If JD calls, may I call him back in too?
Well, sure. Why not?
Okay.
No.
All right.
All right. All right, we're moving along here, guys. Continuing on the most interactive post-Raw experience available here, the Raw post-show on Mega Powers Radio. Chat room has been scrolling with some awesome things throughout this whole time. They just love that whole thing. Shout-outs to everyone who is sitting in there with us. Back out. Creepers onto radars. Ferris419. Chaotic. Silence Goon. Silent Wind of Doom. Hey, where'd YZ go?
I thought we took the enthusiasm out of his name. Is this
Silent Wind of
Meh?
Or not? It depends on how good I'm feeling.
Okay.
It's still fun to say. I don't do it because I like him. I do it because it's fun to say.
Okay, so that makes me happier.
Everything's wrong with him, but he does have the best username out of all of us.
I know. I'm thinking about going with Netpicker.
Ooh, you got a good point. Never mind. Netpicker it is. So
because...
you got no redeeming qualities, Doom.
But wait.
What?
Wouldn't it be Nitpicker?
No, because it's like Nitpicker, went on the net.
take a drink. This is too much.
All right, guys, let's continue talking about Raw. We're almost an hour through the show here. We've only talked about one segment, really. Our second segment on the show tonight was Divas Battle Royal, as teased last week with that awful segment with Kane in the back.
That's an odd tables match.
It's like WrestleMania here, but with Divas.
If you think that's bad, in my notes, instead of putting the Bellas are on commentary, I put the Bells are on commentary.
Those Bells, the like Deebles champions.
So this happened. The final two were Naomi and Paige, who battled at it until Paige got the final elimination, making her the number one contender to face Nikki Bella at Extreme Rules for the Divas title. And we cut to a commercial as nothing happened.
Shocker.
But then we come back from commercial for an interview with Paige, who was still in the ring, which was kind of odd. But I was like, oh, okay, you know, she's in her home country. She's getting a tremendous reaction from them. I guess they want to give her a few words in front of them. But oh, shit. Here comes Naomi, freaking beating the shit out of her, throwing into the guardrail. A heel turn tonight from Naomi out of nowhere. Did not expect this to come. She did a promo backstage with, I think it was Byron Saxton, doesn't really matter. Actually, wasn't a bad promo. The girl showing some skills. Suddenly, she's a force to be reckoned with, and the Divas division, while it's minus AJ, is still looking pretty damn good. What are your guys' thoughts with this?
I think it's fantastic. She's finally got a character, and not only that, it's a character that I can relate to. Ever since she turned heel, her points for why she turned heel, they're very understandable. AJ left, and instead of being given an opportunity, even though she's beaten the champion, the company shit on her. So she's going to take matters into her own hands, and she did that. So I like it when a feud's got some realism to it. I like it when it makes sense. And whatever direction they're going to take her in, I'm looking forward to it, because she's already good in the ring, and she's got the mic work to back it up with.
The match was okay. I only saw the very end of it, so the last four Divas, it was okay. But the main point of this was to set up Naomi as a heel, and I think they did a great job with it. It was really unexpected, especially if you didn't look at the spoilers for it. So I really, really enjoyed it for the most part, and I do think so that it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with her and the Usos going forward.
All right, well, we got a question here in the chat room. By God asks, does this mean that the Usos will be turning heel? I got to say, I don't think heel. So. No, heel. I got to say, I don't think that the Usos will be. I think this is just going to cause some tension in the relationship between Jimmy or Jay or both of them, I guess, but specifically whichever one she's married to.
You know, the one Us.
I don't want to see them as heels, and I don't think there's anything to be gained from turning them heel.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. One other note I have is Naomi had these like light up boots. They were kind of cool. Anyone else catch that? She had like little LEDs in her boots.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was like the one redeeming thing about her attire, because I think we've been shitting on hers for the longest time since she changed what she was wearing.
Has she always had those in her boots?
No, I just noticed it today, so I honestly don't recall her. She used to wear like wrestling boots and not like shoes, I believe.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she used to have those racing stripes going all the way up to like her thighs.
Yeah. If she were to have like wrestling boots with LED lights in it, that'd be fucking awesome.
What are they, like the LA lights? I didn't know. No,
there was just like a row of LEDs that went around the bottom sole part of the
shoe. Imagine Jericho's jacket, but with shoes.
It wasn't that intense. It was a single row around like the bottom part of the shoe.
That'd be so awkward if the lights went out and all you could see was some fucking feet.
Anybody else thought it was like a bit awkward that when Brian Saxon was interviewing Naomi, they looked like brother and sister, or was it just me?
All right, well, it depends on what version of the word you're using.
Clever.
All right, moving along here. We had a match between Lucha Dragons and The Ascension, which prompted the crowd to chant NXT right at the beginning of the match. The Ascension getting the jobber entrance. That didn't take long. Very short match. Quick win for the Lucha Dragons after a hitting of the Salida del Sol and Swanton combo. And another exhibition for them. Continuing to look good. Happy they're on the main roster now. Any other thoughts?
I feel bad for the Ascension.
Echo all the same statements as you. I love what's Kalisto's finisher, the Serena Del Rey.
Sarah Del Rey? Okay.
Indeed. Alberto Del Rio.
Well, if you're going to shit all over it.
Roman Reigns comes out for an interview with Booker T.
He did that tonight. Very beginning of the show.
And apparently you can't finish a fucking word without putting a pause between it awkwardly.
The mental.
Fuck me.
Good, wait.
He's so bad, it's good.
This interview was interrupted, though, by the Big Show on the Tron. He says some words that I'm pretty sure were pre-recorded because they didn't really seem to react to the crowd at all. Roman gets the final word, says, "Believe that." And as he's on his way out to go back through the entranceway, he's thrown back out, and we get a vicious attack by the Big Show, slamming Roman Reigns into the taxi cab, throwing him on top of it, chokeslamming him into the roof of it, putting a big-ass dent into it. Gotta think that might be the end of the taxi cab, unless they're just going to keep bringing it back with all these huge dents in it.
Thank you, Big Show.
I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. I've seen these guys face each other like 10 times already. Big Show is a guy I think still has something to give, but this is just not what I want to see.
This is the match that should have happened at Fastlane.
Yeah.
The last time I really gave a shit about the Big Show at any emotional level was when he wrestled Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. After that, I could not give a fuck anymore about him. And because of that, I don't care about what feud he's in. Hats off to WWE. They did right by trying to build him up with the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. They're doing this whole greatest giant thing. They knew they needed an opponent for Reigns. I just wouldn't have had to be the Big Show. They've wrestled too much, and we don't need Kane and Roman Reigns in the Kane and the Big Show in the main event anymore. We see it every week. It's oversaturated.
That makes me start thinking. The most I was ever into Big Show was that one like 9 month period where he wasn't there, you know, because he wasn't with the company. So yeah, I really don't want to see this, but I thought the segment itself was interesting and it did what it needed to do. So I give props for that. Too bad that taxi cab we will never get to see again. All them dents, poor taxi cab.
So Creepers Under Radar said that the promo was atrocious. I disagree. I mean, I don't think it was like amazing, but I didn't think it was bad.
It's just people shitting on Roman.
The only criticism that I'd legitimately give Roman Reigns is just delivery on particular lines, and I think he's going to get it the more that he's out there. People don't realize that most of the guys that we see and call a great promo, they used to suck too. Give the guy some time to grow. I think what hurt this segment more than anything was putting Booker T out there.
Booker T has kind of taken over that like Jerry Lawler commentator that they sent in the ring to do stuff role.
Yeah, but because he's such a big personality, he takes up too much of the attention. Jerry Lawler could be there and he'd fade into the background when he needed to.
The one thing I took away from this is that like you were talking about the way he delivered. I think whenever he like says something that's supposed to be like, oh, edgy, yeah, you're not supposed to say that, but you did. Like when he called, you know,
him he the loves big the word, bitch. Yeah, he loves the word bitch, but he doesn't ever deliver it right. In fact, the biggest issue he has, he's got a catchphrase. He does not know how he wants to say it. Sometimes it's believe that, and sometimes it's believe that.
He said it right before, or that new one he started up before Mania. What was it? The I can, I will, or something like that?
Yeah, I think a good catchphrase should be able to say it different ways. I mean, hell, The Rock had like at least 300 different ways of saying if you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And 1,000 ways to say everything he ever said.
To be more on point,
he sounds like he can't figure out how he wants to say it. It sounds awkward.
Well, he's testing. And just like John Cena said, you got to experiment and try to see what's going to be best. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, you're right. And as I said, he's still got a lot of room to grow, and he's still got a lot of time to do it. I kind of just hope it happens sooner than later, just because of the position he's in. I don't want to see him fall out of that, because he does deserve it.
If he learns, if he wants to learn how to say bitch right, just talk to JD. JD knows how to say it right every time.
Stephanie knows how to say it.
Ooh, he, she does too. Good point.
He, she does indeed. Randy Orton comes out for a match with Cesaro. It's not too long, though. Tyson Kidd interrupts for the disqualification, prompting Kane to come out, saying that in the interest of what's best for business, he has to make this a handicap match. So it's now Randy Orton versus Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. Fun little bit of match here. They did some cool moves throughout it. Orton ends up getting the victory, though, with an RKO. I'm not quite sure where it came from, though. I forgot to say there's a stipulation that was involved with this match where if he wins, he gets to choose a stipulation for his match against Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins gets a chance to do the same later on in the night. Any thoughts on that match there?
I just want to ask, Cesaro and Tyson Kidd are still tag team champions, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Natty, why the fuck is your tag team champions losing to one man? The fuck?
That's the only thing I was going to complain about this. Like, promotional, I don't understand, malpractice. If someone else would have done it.
They couldn't have done this with, like, New Day.
They could have done this with New Day, Los Matadores. Shit, there's New Day plenty of people they could have done it with. You do not do this to your champions. You want to know why your belts don't mean shit? This type of bullshit. No fucking reason.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100% with Wego.
From there, we transition back to Seth Rollins backstage with Kane and J&J Security discussing the outcome that just happened. Seth says that he doesn't want to face Dolph Ziggler tonight. He wants someone that's going to be easier. At first, he thinks Jamie Noble, but after some deliberating, he decides that since this whole situation is Kane's fault, Kane should be the one to face Seth Rollins and do the lay down for the pin. Kane, of course, doesn't really think this is a good idea, and throughout this whole night, he's approached by Daniel Bryan, Big Show, both kind of playing like the good and bad angels, trying to convince him what to do. Eventually, we did have that match with Kane and Seth Rollins. Kane goes through this whole struggle throughout the match. I don't want to say he turned face, but he did some face tendencies that got the crowd popping, like choke slamming Rollins. But in the end, he did what was best for the authority, and lay down for the pin, draped Seth Rollins' motionless limb over himself, and got the pin for Seth. So, yeah, Seth gets to choose a stipulation as well. I think this is probably going to be the most controversial segment of the show. A lot of people seem to think that this was stupid. I actually think it was pretty neat seeing Kane's inner struggle trying to choose between what was best for his job or, you know, what was best for him as a person. I thought it was neat.
I'm on both sides of the fence. Okay, you've got the authority to make a match where Seth also gets an option. By that logic, don't you have the authority just to give Seth an option? Why put yourself through that? Why put yourself, like, wasn't there a jobber that you could grab from the developmental system and put him out there for an easy win? It made no sense why it happened to me. But I appreciated the story that they was telling in the match. I like the inner struggle, and I'm actually kind of wanted to see a Team Hell No reunion. I fucking love that duo. Mm-hmm. So what we actually got, I didn't mind. I just didn't like the reasoning as to how we got there.
I feel you there. Any other thoughts from anyone else on this?
Kane's being set up just to get fed to Seth Rollins.
Wouldn't surprise me if that's the case. I actually, I'm very mixed about this, where I thought it was interesting. I don't know if I really love it right away. I think like next week will help me like figure out whether or not I really enjoyed this segment or not. It just really depends on what they do with King going forward, because it looks like it's obvious that they're doing something along the lines of either turning him face or de-associating him with the authorities. So it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future with Kane. But the match itself was, at least the segment itself, it was more of that. It was interesting because they haven't done something like that in a while.
This is an interesting segment. We had Stardust. I'm getting the case of the Drews here. Stardust and Fandango in a match. Two of my favorite gimmick characters on the roster right now. Very short match, though. Stardust gets the victory with a springboard disaster kick. This puts Fandango in a bad mood, and he dumps poor Rosa Mendez in front of this crowd, and then walks over to the Spanish announce table, climbs on top, and proceeds to dance to his old theme music. Doing the Fandango dance along with the crowd. The crowd goes absolutely nuts. He grabs JBL's hat, puts it on, and dances with that too, which was something for the ladies, I'm sure. Segment was fun, though. I like Fandango. I've been waiting for a babyface Fandango run, and I hope this isn't just a one-night thing. I hope this is something they roll with as a lower card thing for a little bit.
This is why I love pro wrestling. Just think about all the elements you had here. In no other fucking show could you have a guy publicly humiliate another person, a woman, and dump her in public, then get a dance on a fucking table, and everyone's like, yeah, this is fucking awesome. You just dumped that poor woman. Woo!
That was dance.
In addition to that, somehow the production team just knew that Fandango wanted his old music played too. Everything in this is why pro wrestling's awesome, because it didn't need to make sense, and it was just fucking fun.
One up it even more. He lost that match to a guy who, whatever the fuck Stardust is.
And proceeded to blame Rosa Mendez for the reason why he lost and why he was in a struggle recently.
Mm-hmm. So if anything, people should be going like, oh, he, you know, if you got the girl because you won a match, that you should cheer. No, he gets his ass kicked by whatever the fuck Stardust is. Then he goes, hey, you're hot. But fuck you. I like that old theme. Do-do-do. And everybody's just like, oh, awesome. And he got a hat.
The old theme was better. I will give you that one.
Like, if you've written,
a lot better.
Like, in any other scenario for a TV show or a book, if you've written this down, people would be like, the fuck? He's horrible.
No, this is, would be, this would be something that we, after, like, shows when we talk about random shit, this would be something that we would come up with and we'd think would be fucking awesome.
And that's why we love it so much. Just didn't make sense, didn't need to make sense.
It was the right amount of cheese.
I just have to go with this going forward. I was fuck, dude. I know Peyton's been the biggest Fandango supporter out of all of us, and I've always liked him, but I've always thought of him as someone that would ease out of the, like, you know, out of the company eventually. I thought he would be done after this year, but since they're going back to maybe his old ways with a face run, I'm all in on Fandango as possibly getting just a bigger push, or just being on the show more in general, because I think I've always thought Johnny Curtis was a great talent, and I think he could do a lot in the ring. They just need to give him the time to do it.
I just want to say, going all the way back to our first season of the Fantasy League, I drafted Fandango first round. That's how much behind him I was.
I think Fandango will end up filling the Santino Morella role, because, you know, Adam Rose couldn't fucking do it.
And to be fair to you, Peyton, he was going to do well that year, at least I thought, until he got that concussion that fucked him over when he was supposed to win the Intercontinental Championship, I believe.
What if that concussion never happened? Where do you think Fandango would be right now?
He'd still be in the mid-card.
I think he'd be right where he is right now.
I think he would have fizzled out eventually, because I think that's just, especially now when everyone's having real names and we have a Fandango character like him, I think he would have lost steam eventually, because as you saw, the Fandangoing lost steam eventually as well. So it would have been interesting to see what, but I think it would have sizzled out. But I think they could have turned him heel eventually and turn him, or just like do something what they did with Rosa Mendez and then brought him back as this. He would be in the same situation, but I think he would have maybe meant more in the mid card during 2013 when he originally came in.
All right, we got a caller here who's been wanting to get on here, so let's see what they got to say here. Caller from Skype, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, my name is John, calling you from Manhattan, and you know, I just wanted to, you know, see what you guys thought about, you know, John Cena defending his title. You know, you think he's going to be able to do it? You know, we got international champion Daniel Bryan defending his championship as well. You know, I just want to know what you guys think about what's going on in WWE lately.
Wait, does this guy say his name's John? Oh, not this shit again.
Uh, Well, we've been talking about WWE all night, man, and John Cena, in fact. As far as John Cena, I think this is something they're going to prolong for quite a long time. I think this might even go all the way to SummerSlam before we finally see someone get their comeuppance on him. And I would be surprised if John Cena defends the title every week between now and then. I think he's a guy who could pull that off. And if he can continue to have the caliber of matches he's been having, there's a full roster of guys that he could go out there and have these matches with. And people, you know, that might not have an opportunity to face a guy like John Cena otherwise. You know, how else would a guy like, I don't know, even like a Neville just get out there and get a chance to face a Cena? Luke Harper will get out there and a chance to face Cena. Oh, no, he faced Cena like 20 times when he was feuding with Bray Wyatt. Never mind. Anyway, I don't know. You guys have anything you want to say about that?
When it comes to the John Cena scenario, you go, John.
Cena, your show fucking sucks. No one listens to this shit. No one listens to this shit. No one.
Hey, wow. I love it.
Keep that up
for a while. Keep going, buddy. Yeah, you're live on the air. What do you got? What do you got? Come on, buddy.
I want to just keep laughing.
Yeah.
Do you think we could just...
Hey, can you guys make sure you record his track and then we've got our own laugh track?
Do you remember remember last week when he told us, that one guy told us to call our own line and he got us? Yeah, that's
that was,
what it's...
That was clever. That was clever.
Yeah, this guy.
So yeah, like speaking of John Cena, the U.S. champion was interviewed by Chris Jericho live after all. WWE is a fucking joke.
Damn.
Better than TNA.
Oh, don't tell me he hung up.
No, he's still there.
Alright, awesome, cool.
Alright, keep going.
Penis. Yo, John Cena fucking sucks.
A lot of people do say...
Right? Five moves of doom. Fucking hell.
Fucking hell!
He gets a new move, and then he fucking just takes away one of his shoulder blocks.
Your show sucks.
Okay. I like hearing your opinion.
Wait, can you reiterate... Penis?
Oh, he hung up.
I love when you give them the forum to actually keep going and not hang up on them. They're like, penis. penis.
Well, let me force this laugh.
No, I think the difference
is... Oh, am I still on?
I think the difference is between us and a lot of other people is that we don't really care. So I think a lot of people might actually care about that shit.
He did a good impression of actually being a wrestling fan before he turned into a
fucking loser.
Well, this guy obviously... has some idea of what's going on.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but I don't think that was John.
Either he's some kind of wrestling fan, or he put a lot of investment into making this prank call, and he researched a lot of shit.
And if that was the case, that's very fucking sad.
Oh, we haven't had a prank call in a while.
Hey, do you think he'd be interested in buying some drums?
Do you think he has a meatball parm? Because I can go for one of them right now.
Maybe meatball parm is somebody's guy.
I know he's got a penis. He reiterated that point a lot.
I think he had three of them specifically.
Huh. I didn't count.
I lost track after penis.
Kind of like God, call back in.
It's funny. This guy was like messaging me in the blog talk chat too. He's like, please, I want to call in. I got some interesting points. Please. Please let me call in. Please.
What was his name on the blog talk chat?
That's Nick's fan, Nick's for Life 8.
Nick's for Life 8. Huh.
Yeah.
You remember those two people that called in that one time back in October, but we haven't seen them since?
The ones that shoved gin bags up their asses or something?
No, there was
a tag team, I remember.
Oh yeah, you're on about WWE's gay. Yeah, he's gay. He's gay.
Gay. Gay penis. I think that works, right, guys?
Oh, he's saying he has a few more points. Apparently he wants to call back.
Yes.
Which point is it? Is it the penis?
No. I think it's the other penis.
As oh, you want about the third one, or you want about the one in between number one and number three?
I don't know. We might have to ask it personally. That's too much for me to handle.
Yo, Tom, tell us your favorite time cow moment.
Said that with a doom got him good. He said he's a Knicks fan. Obviously, he's not good at making life decisions.
Wait, saw him when the doom made that?
He's gone up in my estimations again.
Yeah, like he's gone up like
tad.
0.5 of a point.
No, hey, John is calling back in, and this time he wasn't smart enough to block his phone number, so now I got his number screenshotted. Thanks, John. I'm going to be calling you late at night on our next late night show. So hope you weren't using your parents' home phone number, because you're going to get a lot of fun late night phone calls now, buddy. And no, I'm not letting you back on the air now, so fuck off, buddy. All right.
Oh, keep moving. Really wanted to know if he had a meatball parm, though.
So, if you enjoyed that, people, make sure you listen into the old talk show, because we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, we have no life. Okay. Well, let me give it to the other people in the chat room here, so they have it, so they can call it whenever they want as well. Let's see here. 4-2-201-567-4211. That's 201-567-4211. You guys have fun with that phone number. We're gonna continue the show here. So we had the Miz versus Damian Mizdow for the second week in a row, ruining a pay-per-view quality matchup. Should have been on a big show. At least it was in front of a big crowd, but unfortunately the match was all but 30 seconds long. I think the most important note out of this is that Mizdow now has a chick on his arm. Came out with Summer Rae, looking fine, happy to see her back on TV. Kind of funny seeing that not too long after having that Fandango segment. Almost seems like you should have put them back together. Maybe Fandango will bring Roundface back. Even better. They had a little bit of showboat battle at the beginning of it that was kind of fun, where they're both like taking off their glasses. That was fun. Mizdow gets the victory pretty quick though with a roll up, and again this feud is dead. Any thoughts from you guys?
It's been dead since last week, so I don't think it was ever dead a second time now. But yeah, I think the one thing I've noticed is that Summer Rae still looks pretty good. So there's that.
All I gotta say is penis, the penis.
Gosh, I'm going to be the one of Chicken Parmesan.
No, they fucked this feud. I mean, come on. You don't do a build-up to this, screw over the WrestleMania match that they should have gotten, and then not even give them a proper build to Extreme Rules. If you were really that strapped on time for WrestleMania, maybe I could justify that, but you don't just give it away on Raw. And you don't give it away on Raw with, like, kind of a half-assed, you know, middle of the commercial break sort of feel to it. You make that like one of the main events of the night, kind of. You give them, you know, a gimmick match on Raw to build up the idea of Extreme Rules having gimmick matches and go, like, these guys are going to fight in an Extreme Rules match. We're going to show you how brutal Extreme Rules can be. And then you have Damian Sandow, not Damian Mizdow, because he's got to have his own theme music and shit, get his win on The Miz. And then at the very least, that could be a possible way to give a blow off of this feud. But man, they are just like pushing this on the back burner as much as they can.
You know, going back to talking about things that are ridiculous, isn't it crazy how invested in this feud that we've gotten? That we're upset that they like botched it on doing this match too early?
Because that's what happens Mizdow when somebody does a good job.
Yeah, Mizdow was genuinely fucking likable. Now I don't care about his trials because I've already seen him get one up on the Miz multiple times. I don't care anymore.
Anybody else hear that too? Yeah, he like he Booker T'd for a moment. He was like, he already got his comeuppance on the Miz.
Oh, that's a penis again.
Unintentional Skype hilarity. I don't know. Are they? Can they even do a match at Extreme Rules anymore with this?
No, they have to.
If they're going to have a match, they're going to be pre-show.
That's a shame.
They have to fill time on that card, so might as well.
I could see it being a ladder match where, like, the winner gets the rights to the Miz character.
Wouldn't it be amazing if Mizdow won too?
To the theme song.
That actually might be interesting to see what the Miz would do. Like, he'd have to go to Mike Mizanino or what?
I do like, though, that they took my idea of doing a Miz TV segment, but they just did it on SmackDown instead of actually on Raw, so that disappoints me. The one show I don't watch, they actually do it on.
It could be The Sand. Take his theme.
I came to sand.
My name's not Jeff.
Or he could try and do the Sandow gimmick, but he's too fucking
snarf,
stupid.
Snarf, snarf, snarf.
So, just in case anyone forgot, I just want to remind everyone out there that John's number is 201-567-4211. That's 201-567-4211.
Let me clarify something really quickly. This isn't not Jeff. This is a different John. So, sorry for those who wanted to do that, too.
No, this is John from New York City.
Yeah, this guy likes the Knicks.
So, what you're saying is that number is 201-567-4211.
That is indeed what I'm saying, that the number is 201-567-4211, that you could dial with any phone that you have, and go ahead and see what he's doing.
That's catchy. Very catchy.
Just make sure if you phone from a work phone that you dial one first, otherwise it might not go out.
Well, that's so
I'd
true.
Have to reverse the call charges, though, because I live in a different country.
Oh.
Yeah, call collect to 201-567-4211 and see what happens.
Who the fuck does collect calls anymore?
And if you're wondering what the title for this episode will be, it'll be 201-567-4211.
Hey, that's actually a good idea. All right. With that, I think we should actually go ahead and take a caller. So we're going to go ahead and take out. We got another caller coming in from the 412. So let's.
Oh, snap.
Let's go ahead and see what we got going down here.
You just keep saying penis.
Penis, penis, it's the penis show.
JD, you there, bro?
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. What's going on this Monday?
Oh, we're absolutely tremendous, man. Having fun here on the Raw Post Show, as always. Taking care of some riffraff. You know how it is. How you doing, though?
Yeah, riffraff.
I'm not doing too bad tonight. I'm doing okay for the most part. I'm hanging in there, however. It was a nice day here, so you can't complain. So it was really nice. It always felt like it was late June today rather than April. I mean, it was a gorgeous day here, so it was really nice.
It's about goddamn time after all the freaking days that felt like it was December when it was April.
Yeah, I can, though. At least, but today it was like 85 here. I mean, it was absolutely gorgeous here today. It really was nice today.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was good. Anyway, let's get to Raw, however.
Yeah, let's
from
do
London
it.
Tonight, however.
Let's do it.
Two good matches tonight. I mean, the Cena Barrett thing was good. However, I did like that. I did like the Neville and Ziggler match. I thought those two did really, really well with each other until Sheamus, Mr. Red Rooster, came in and had to kill the momentum. And then the ending just completely sucked. But it just seemed like WWE tonight had no energy in them other than those two matches I mentioned. I mean, it was like WCW 1999 booking call.
1987
was always in charge of the office. It was like Seth Rollins, okay, let's lay down. Let's let Kane lay down, however, and make him look like a jackass. Oh, let's have no stipulation where no RKO is allowed or no freaking authority can get into the cage. Yeah, this is like 1997 all over again. I mean, it was just a terribly booked show. It was just terrible. And I don't know how bad it's going to be in the ratings this week. I mean, it's just going to be an absolute joke if you ask me. And I think they totally went backwards this week. This next week, they're going to have to put on a pretty good go-home show for Extreme Rules, if you ask me.
I'm sorry, just one moment. By God, can you confirm that? If you can confirm that that is actually, I'll be happy to promote that as well. But continuing the conversation with you here, JD, your high point, low point for the Raw.
The high point of the night, however, I think were the two matches I mentioned, but more so I think Neville and Ziggler were really, really good. Neville being in his own country was definitely – I mean, he and Ziggler really had a pretty good match. I think they're going to have some good matches with each other eventually down the road, and I think the fans got a test of it tonight. I mean, Neville continues to wow me, however. I've been a fan of his since NXT. He's done pretty well since he came up to the roster. The low point of the night, however, I would say was the whole Divas battle. I mean, the fellas continue to be terrible on the announcing thing, and now you have Naomi going heel, however, and it looks like Paige is going to be written off, however, maybe because apparently she's filming a new movie, and that leaves the Divas division in a big-time limbo heading into Extreme Rules.
Interesting. All right. Well, with that, let's do a quick round of Ask JD for this London edition of Raw. And I say we should try to make as many British-themed questions as we can. So anyone in the chat room, if you have a British-themed question for Ask JD this week.
That's not a bad idea. I like that. I like that indeed. And I'm surprised the little fake little JD hasn't called in tonight, showing you where he's at tonight. Probably
yes,
by
you
now.
Missed that.
Oh, you missed. There was an epic rap battle.
What did the little bitch have to say this week?
Him and Jeff had a rap battle.
Well, to be sure, we don't know if that was the fake JD that called in earlier.
And there seemed to be, and Jeff called it.
Well, Jeff is my attorney, and I hope he put the fake JD in his place, because the fake JD is a piece of shit, and I'm calling him issuing him a challenge right now. If he's still listening in, I'm calling a steel cage match with you next week on the show. If you have the balls to call in at this time, I dare you to call in. And I'm calling for my attorney. If he's listening in, I want him to listen to this too. I hope he'll be in with me next week. He can bring Silent Wind of Doom if he wants him. If he wants a tag match with me and Jeff, I will put him and ram his face right into the cage wall and slam him hard.
Goodness. I think that would be a big thing we can have next week here on the show. I mean, we're already having our draft next week here on the show, so throwing that together, that's going to make a packed edition of the Raw Post Show. I hope he's out there listening and hears that, because I think that'll be a big thing to have. And I think we should have a Jeff in each corner as well, because we apparently have two Jeffs now, which is a weird occurrence.
Well, his Jeff is, of course, Silent Wind of Doom, and my Jeff is my attorney and my lawyer, however, who will put him in his place, however. And like I said, the fake JD and Silent Wind of Doom are going down. So I think you had British questions. I mean, let's get to it.
Yeah, sure. Well, the chat sucks at listening to me and didn't give British questions, but I'll take a couple of them from here anyway. Silent Wind of Doom, your good friend, says, last week you seemed to think that I was from Philly. However, Silent Wind of Doom is actually from the great state of New York. Can you both just meet in the middle and agree that both the Phillies and the Sox suck?
The Phillies and the what suck?
The Sox.
Probably the
Red Sox, yeah.
I want to say the Phillies took one on the chin today, but the Red Sox do not suck. They did take 2 out of 3 against the Yankees this weekend, though.
Oh, he's got you there, Silent Wind of Doom.
Oops. Fuck. God damn it, Silent Wind of Doom.
All right. Creepers Under Radar really wants me to ask. No, I'm not asking that. Never mind. I just read the question. I'm not asking
that.
What was it?
No, go ahead.
Oh, shit.
He wants to know, should we put Jeff into the Hall of Fame?
It's an interesting question, but no. If he goes in the Hall of Fame, I'm the one to put him in. He's my attorney. Oh, he's defending me well. I will be the one that puts him in the Hall of Fame. And
good
you guys can back me up if you want to.
Is this like barbershop?
Some egotistical shit going on here.
He's getting to the root of the problem with the fake JD, because he knows that the fake JD is a piece of lying cow shit, is what he is.
He is getting close to the issue at hand. That is true.
Lying cow shit?
Choice
of words.
Yeah. The fake JD is a lying piece of flying cow shit, is what he is.
Flying cow
shit? Oh, you got the angel wings.
What
wings is he going to have? He's going to be clipped hard when I ram kick his ass all over the place in the cage.
Well,
I feel like if he leaves the cage in one piece.
Where did he get a cage from?
I'm going to try to stick to a British-themed question, unlike the chat room here. So my British-themed question for you, JD, is who is your favorite British musical artist?
Very good question. U2.
Aren't they Irish?
U2. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They're from the UK.
Okay, I'll count it. I'll allow it. All right. Drew. You got one for JD?
Yes, I do. As everyone knows, Vince McMahon apparently hates the English for some reason. So my question is, who do you think is going to be the first English-born guy to win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship?
That's really a really good question. I mean, I like that question, actually. You know, if there are two guys the road in the years
question.
To come, I mean, there's two guys I could see actually win it. And my two guys are Neville Finn Balor. So I'm going to say one of those two. But if I'm going real smart, I'm going to say Adrian Neville.
All right. Tony, you got a British question?
As curious as I am to figure out if right in the boat is a legitimate English phrase, I'm going to ask who's the best James Bond?
Okay. who's the best James Bond? Sean Connery, without question.
Good choice.
Wago, yep. You got a British themed ask, JD, since you're like the only actual Brit here.
Hey,
would you eat? You're Welsh. Fuck off.
Yeah, you're Welsh.
What? Yeah, I don't care if you are classed as British. Only the English should be classed as British. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, technically Americans are as British as you are, so.
As far as my question for JD goes, would you eat chocolate digestives?
Ooh.
No. No, I would not.
Apparently, I don't know if you know this or if anyone out there listening knows, digestives are a brand of cookie from England.
That look fucking great.
Oh, I thought there was something really offensive. No, that's where I got confused that's what threw me for a hurdle. There's certain British foods I haven't heard of, and that was one of them I've never heard of. But chocolate cookies, yeah, of course. But if there was something else, then something really derogatory or really foul and just nasty,
despicable.
Then I
wouldn't. It sure sounds cookies, like it when they're called digestives. All right.
Hey, yeah, you want some shit biscuits?
All right, Sean. I'll bring it to you. I know you're close to Britain, so what do you got to bring to the table?
I fucking live in Britain. You can't. Right.
Oh, you can call me a British. I'm fucking British. I'm fucking Welsh. I'm British. You fucking mug. I'll have you. I'll knock you right in the boat.
Hey, real quick, before we go into the next question, just want to tell you guys real quick, starting next Wednesday, possibly Wednesday night in primetime, on WXTJ
TNA.
The Extreme, we're going to be doing maybe a two-hour show or an hour-long show.
TNA?
My show.
Impact?
You guys might want to call in. We'll give you the information on that.
Yeah. Oh,
good.
Right. My question for you, JD, right? I am a Welsh dude.
Yes.
Right? There hasn't been many Welsh wrestlers, right? But who do you reckon would win, Rob Terry or Mason Ryan?
Mason Ryan, he's too strong. Mason Ryan, who really got a raw deal, I feel, in the years he wrestled. I really do, because, I mean, there was talk about his injuries and everything, but, I mean, if he came up to the roster right now, he'd squash everybody in his path, including that little pug, Seth Rollins.
He's a pug now?
Pug.
Pug. Okay.
All right, well, your good friend Silent One to Doom submits one final question here. Have you ever just stopped and thought about it all? Like, why are we here? Is there a greater power that watches over us? That cares? Does anything really matter? And if that's too much to handle, where do you get your t-shirts from?
He always asks the same thing every week, however. He should be asking, however, that he'll be wearing a t-shirt, however, next week that says, I will get my butt handed to me in the middle of the ring, however, with my partner, because Jeff and I will take you down next week.
All right.
So tell him next week says, I am a loser, because I will be a born loser when I'm done getting my ass handed to me by JD and Jeff in the ring.
Well, he may be a loser, but he's not as big as a loser as John from New York City, who you could reach by dialing 201-567-4211. That's 201-567-4211. That's John in New York. And JD from Pittsburgh.
You know, here's an idea for John from New York real quick before we go, however. He should be tomorrow morning, however, call the New York Knicks, however, and ask him if he could be the next New York Knicks coach and the new GM of that team.
We got one last one actually here. I want to give it's actually a good one that got submitted. Ferris419 SJD, please give us a typical UK saying in your best British accent.
Oh, this is tough. If I could do a John Cleese or Monty Python, I would. But I'll try to do the best voice I can. But it's not a great British voice. I might as well just say cheerio till next week, however, and I will be back. That's all I can say. Cheerio.
That was fucking terrible. You should never do that again, you fucking mug. What was that? You meant to be British. You sound like the fucking dirty American yet, you bastard.
I'll go touch your side, you wanker.
Ah, there you go. There you go. All right, JD, you have a good night tonight, man.
All right, boys. Always a pleasure. Talk to you guys next.
Nope, I cut him out a little too early. Sorry, buddy. All right, we're going to keep the show rolling here. Actually, what do we got left here? We had another really fun primetime player segment backstage.
It was good. It was better than last week.
They impersonated Los Matadores. They actually took shots at almost all the tag teams. This was whack.
Notice they haven't said anything about the Usos yet. Because what are they going to say? Be like, yeah, Usos, you've won the titles a lot and you're actually really entertaining. Kudos for them to pointing out, though, the whole Puerto Rican bullfighter thing. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
It was kind of funny, and they also did a little nod to, like, how I think Darren Young said, like, rainbow is my favorite color or something like that.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, they put when they did their little El Torito, it was like a giant stuffed bear that was rainbow colored, and Darren Young's like, "Oh, rainbow's my favorite color."
They get very upset after that. Like, they're playing the gay thing way too much for them.
Actually, that's pretty subtle. Yeah, it's pretty subtle too. See, Drew, I know you don't understand subtlety. Yeah, but that's an example of subtlety.
Drew's booking the promo, and Titus O'Neil's like, "Hey guys, we're the primetime players. This one's gay."
All right, Darren.
He's the gay one.
Darren Young is his name. That's actually his real name. His real name's Fred, but we call him Darren.
But everyone calls him Freddy because he's gay.
Oh gosh. Dolph Ziggler comes out for a promo. I think it's nice that they found something for Dolph Ziggler to do because he wasn't facing Seth Rollins. He decides to put out
this on a fly, right?
Yeah. Especially without like Triple H and Stephanie there 2 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. So irresponsible of them. Who isn't there for 2 weeks on their main show?
Fucking hell.
Dolph Ziggler puts out an open challenge to anyone who wants to face him, and it's answered by Neville. Comes out for another exhibition performance for his third match, I believe it was. And another fantastic one for him. A great opponent for him in Dolph Ziggler, who can, of course, make him look like $1 million. A number of awesome moments throughout this match. There was a really badass DDT that Ziggler hit on Neville. Neville did this thing where he, like, walked along the guardrail and then did a freaking... Was it a 450 onto 450. Ziggler on the outside?
Yes,
from
was.
The guardrail. It was freaking nuts. Everything he did just looks so clean, so crisp. This guy is a stud. He's going to do big, big things.
Does he remind you of Billy Kidman?
No.
He reminds me of Billy Kidman.
People draw comparisons to all these other high flyers. Adrian Neville is the most talented, athletic high flyer that WWE has ever had. Period. Mm-hmm. More, you know what? I'd go ahead and say more so than probably any pro wrestling company in the last 20 years. There has not been a guy that can touch him athletically.
Remember when he beat Hulk Hogan?
Billy Kidman? Yeah, that fucking sucked.
No, I mean Neville.
Oh, we're gonna do this now too.
Wait, is this Jericho?
Remember when Neville was in Raven's Flock?
Remember when he was in a boy band? Actually, right. He could be in a boy band with that face.
He could be the ugly one. They always have one ugly one.
Mm-hmm. Remember when his phone number was 201-567-4211?
No, but I remember when that was John from New York City's number.
Ah, I get those mixed up.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Actually, freaking, who was it? I think it was By God, pulled out an address. And I don't want to say the address just in case that isn't actually his. I don't want to get someone else in trouble, but I decided to Google the number myself. And according to the Google thing that I found, that phone number is indeed a landline. So I really do hope that's like somebody's parents' number.
I'm pretty confident it is because he ran off mm-hmm. as soon as you said that number.
Mm-hmm.
He shrank very, very fucking small.
Got a call and be like, "Hi there, do you like the Knicks? Would you like to win free tickets to
the Knicks?"
I bet he regrets calling in again and not blocking his number. What a cunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got it right the first time. The second time, not so much, buddy. You know, I knew something was weird because he said he was calling in on Skype, but I was getting that 111 number that I get when people call in with a block line.
Ah, so what you're saying is, not only is he a piece of shit, he's a lying piece of shit.
Oh, he's a massive lying piece of shit. And his number is also 201-567-4211.
Which
you know what? If I was going to pick a number that was for a lying piece of shit, that'd be the number.
Yeah, Neville had a good match.
Neville had a fantastic match here. Unfortunately, he came up on the short end of the stick this night. Dolph Ziggler got the victory with a zigzag. You know, again, just like last week, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people complaining about Neville being buried and he's going to be another failure from NXT. That remains to be seen. I'm not going to say that Neville is guaranteed to do well because you never know what's going to happen for somebody. I'm very confident that he will be, and he's not being buried. He lost two very competitive matches 2 weeks in a row. I don't see how anyone could think he's being buried. He's doing fine.
Yeah, he went on SmackDown last week, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go. After the match, we had Sheamus pay us a visit by attacking both of these guys, laying them out with bro kicks. And Sheamus still looking like a brute, and says, fella.
New theme music, Sasso.
Everyone hates me. This is my babyface catchphrase. Whoa.
It's worst.
I still think instead of saying fella, he should just be like, dude.
Man. Oh, wait, that's already taken.
Guys.
It could be the bro kick.
The bro kick. Wait, they already have that. The broski boot.
God damn it. Why does Zack Ryder ruin everything?
Zack Ryder does ruin almost everything.
Wait, so we're going to just like merge them together too? We're going to have like Sheamus come out with the one leg kind of trunks and shit?
Only way Ryder's getting on television.
No, they should team them up as a tag team, and there has to be like a bit where Zack Ryder takes Sheamus spray tanning. And he comes out for a few weeks like spray tanned.
Well, they do both spike their hair.
Yeah, there you go. They can have a thing backstage where they're like fighting over the big vat of hair gel that Tony has.
That is so great. Specifically Tony's hair gel.
Yeah, it's got a little name tag on it. One of those little property of Tony Mankoff things. And you know how they used to sell those things, the Zack Ryder hair things you could put on with the bandana? Do that with Sheamus. With that stupid mohawk that he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go, WWE. We just made merchandise, an angle, a tag team, all that kind of shit. And you can't even do fucking Sandow versus Miz.
So, Sheamus's whole motivation for all this is he said he's tired of seeing the small guys, the pipsqueak, the not man's men type of people. The real men, as he says.
The nut fellows.
He's going to feud with Regal.
So where is this going? Is this going to be a feud with Neville? I thought maybe he was going against Daniel Bryan, or is he just kind of like beating people up and we're going to find his direction later? What do you think is Sheamus's end game right now?
I think right now it's the last thing you mentioned where he's just beating up a bunch of people and then we'll find the end game kind of thing after Extreme Rules, because they kind of had to finish off a lot of storylines from WrestleMania essentially and then move on from there. I don't know if he'll be in a match at Extreme Rules. If it is, it's going to be some type of variation of the Intercontinental Championship picture. But I do believe after that we'll have a better idea of what the what's going on with him in the future, because is it Payback after Extreme Rules? Yeah.
Paybaxel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Paybaxel, my bad. Wait, Money in the Axel is after that, I believe. Still, it's still weird that that's in June now compared to July, which it was a few years. But I'm fine with the Sheamus character. I thought the match was great, and I thought the beatdown segment afterwards was fine. He needs another catchphrase instead of fella, because no. So, yeah.
He's going to beat Dolph Ziggler as a distraction for a little bit, kind of like what they're doing with the whole Big Show Roman Reigns thing. Just, you know, feed somebody to him. This is who we want you to pay attention to. Then he's probably going to move on to Dean Ambrose, I think, and basically just beat Dean Ambrose, because Ambrose can't win a fucking match for some reason. And then go right to either the John Cena feud or the Daniel Bryan one. Whoever he ends up going up against, he's winning the title.
Mm-hmm.
So is Dean Ambrose Jannetty?
No one's going to be a Jannetty in this group.
I'm going to be sad.
I would equate them more to like the Four Horsemen. Everybody's a star in that group.
Yeah, Tully.
Tully was a big star back in the day, dude. Say what you will about him now. He was a big star back in the day.
Yeah, but his name.
It is a gross thing. We got the main event segment left to talk here. About 20 minutes, a little less than 20 minutes left of the show. And I just want to take some time before we go into this last segment to do some promoting for next week's show, because we got lots of things planned. Again, it's going to be our draft for our fantasy league, where we're going to be picking our teams. Always a fun time when we do that, so you want to be around while we do that. JD, one of the JDs at least, has challenged the other JD with Jeffs in each corner to a steel cage match. Whatever that means.
I don't know how we're going to broadcast.
Yeah, like,
but yeah, we'll.
How do you do that over a phone?
I think we just need to have the however banned.
Yeah, that's probably the way to go. The however definitely has to be banned.
So if he says however, he can't call in ever again.
That sounds about right.
All right, cool. I'll put it down in the contract.
All right. Well, we have to have the contract signing first. We'll do that on the B show during the week.
Do you have a table that we can use that they can push each other through?
I'm still trying to get the one from the last one fixed.
Can we get Miguel's, because it's the Spanish announcers?
I have one, but it's tipped over, and once the table's tipped over, it's broken.
It's kind of like a turtle. You can't tip it back over.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, lots of fun stuff going on next week. And I also just want to remind everyone out there once again that John from New York's number is 201-567-4211. Call it. Do stuff. I don't really care what you do. Do stuff.
Tell him that you found porn in the woods.
All right, guys. So our main event segment tonight was not a match. At least our opening segment was, but our main event, unfortunately not. Both Seth Rollins and Randy Orton won their respective matches this evening, so they each get to choose a stipulation for their main event match at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Seth Rollins picked his first, and he went an interesting route, and he decided that in this match, the RKO would be banned. Very interesting choice. Randy Orton, not really a guy known for having a variety of finishers. I mean, he has the punt, and that's about it. You know, he has some other moves. He has that backbreaker thing he does and the DDT, but no other finishers, really. He's never been a guy that had a submission or anything else. He's always been about the RKO.
I got an idea what they're going to do with this, and I think he's going to break out a diamond cutter.
You know, that's a very good possibility. Orton goes next to choose his stipulation, and he chooses something a little bit more boring, but possibly effective. He said he wants to take away Seth Rollins' strongest tool, which is the authority. So they're going to have a steel cage match, because, you know, steel cages are supposed to keep people out. Of course, when has it ever happened in the history of a steel cage match, besides Mark Henry?
There was that one time.
No, there wasn't. So that's the deal. We're having Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton for the WWE Championship Extreme Rules steel cage match, where the RKO is banned. What do you think about this, guys?
It's interesting.
Okay. I think it's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know. I think Viagra, talk about lack of creativity, is pretty terrible.
They should just rename this fucking pay-per-view the steel cage match pay-per-view. Just name it Lockdown or some shit. Oh, wait, no, Lockdown is TNA, my bad.
Well, they could, you know, come up with something that's for steel cages, maybe like No Way Out.
Nah, yeah. They could just call it Steel Cage, kind of like what they do with Hell in a Cell and Money in the Bank.
TLC.
And TLC. No, it's TLCS now. And with
these. Oh, yeah, I forgot about the stairs.
Yeah, oh, God, them stairs.
Them stairs, them steel stairs.
Stairs.
Use stairs for walking. I'll walk on them.
Then Roman Reigns throws them and Peyton has an orgasm.
It's funny because Peyton does have an orgasm when people throw things.
Especially when it's Roman Reigns with his locks.
Oh, so I want to do actually brings up something that I forgot to take notes on because I don't have it.
You know what that is? Poor note-taking skills.
It is indeed. Sawood Adoob says, I have a question for you guys. I missed the last hour, but I don't have much to talk about, so I decided not to call in, but I did have a thing. Who is Bray talking to? He said the person had something he loved that he could lose. That's kind of an interesting thing. Very cryptic speeches that Bray has been given these last few weeks. Keeps saying, I am the new face of fear, despite the fact that he lost at WrestleMania. Who is he talking to?
Ernest the Cat Miller.
Well, maybe Brother Love. He did say love a lot. Mm. Honestly, I've got no real solid guesses. Maybe Roman Reigns.
but I don't know what he could lose. Maybe Seth Rollins if they want to turn him face, but I don't see them turning him face. Maybe his fucking promo doesn't even mean anything and he's just batting off a bunch of bullshit until they give him an opponent. I don't know.
I think he's talking about this new guy called Murky. I heard he's all the rage.
Yeah.
Maybe he realized how many people are scared of Neville's ugly face, so he's going to be the new face of fear.
We know it's not going to be Eric Rowan. Fuck.
Where's he been?
Exactly. Even when he shows up, he jobs.
He jobbed Bray Wyatt last week on SmackDown.
So, easy answer to that one to do. We have no idea. Sorry.
And I don't think WWE does either.
No.
I think that's why they're keeping it vague. Although, I would say right now, watch out for him to not have a match at Extreme Rules and to interfere in a match in Extreme Rules.
So, probably Randy Orton.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, I'm going to go ahead and press this telephone button, and I'm going to dial in the number 201-567-4211. That's 201-567-4211. I'm going to hit dial, and let's see what happens here.
Laugh if he's unplugged it.
Please leave your message for 201-567-4211.
Hey, John, just tell...
Oh, I hung up on him.
Damn. Oh, well.
Did you want me to call back?
Yeah, that's cool.
No, we should give him like a million voicemails.
All right, awesome. If anyone wants to call in and leave John a voicemail, do it now.
Yeah, now that we know that his phone is off, you're going to go right to voicemail, so we can just leave like, successive voice. Oh.
Someone else was calling.
Huh.
Oh, it's the old Cole show.
Yeah, apparently.
Please leave your message for 201-567-4211.
I'm glad that it repeats the number.
Hey, you.
Hey, John, I just wanted to say thank you for calling into our show on Mega Powers Radio, and thanks for the pictures of your mom's tits. Tell her I said hi. And, yeah, I'm glad that you think you can kick your dad's ass.
Hey, buddy.
Why is your major malfunction, numbnut?
I hope his dad's an alcoholic.
You said what?
Those are my tits. Here to inquire about penis. I hear you.
I'm going to do the British.
Hello?
Voice.
Hello?
You are listening to the Bill Stevenson Show with your host, Bill Stevenson. Where do you get your fill on everything involving Bill Stevenson? And now, here's your host, Bill Stevenson.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for the tremendous reaction. We are back here in the Phil Stevenson Show with Phil Stevenson, best premier dog collecting show in the northwestern panhandle of Missouri. And I am joined today by the most fantastic porcelain crafter in New York City, John. John, how you doing? How do you manage to have such delicate hands while you paint the faces on these dolls? What do you do to be so limp-wristed? John? John, you there? John, the people are listening.
Hello,
How's everybody doing tonight? This is John from Manhattan.
Hey, John. How you doing, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Tremendous. So I wanted to know.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
It's going fantastic.
Well. Okay.
Yeah, we're doing fantastic,
so tonight,
John.
We're looking at a very good topic. We're talking about racism and systemic racism within the American education environment. Hmm. Tonight, I have Dr. What's your name again?
Dr. Schoenberger.
Dr. Winder.
Yeah, Schoenberger Commenberger.
Dr. Winder is here.
Yeah, Schoenberger Commenberger Commenberger.
He's here also with Dr. Bofa. Dr. Bofa?
That is one big pile of shit.
Well, this is awkward.
So, how's New Jersey?
Formulate a sentence, sir.
How's New Jersey?
Hello? Hello?
How is New Jersey?
How is New Jersey?
Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going tonight? We got a great show for us. We're talking NBA basketball. We got Klay Thompson tonight. He scored 37 points. It's a great, great way for the, you know, we see the Warriors and the Warriors team, and we don't know if they're going to play good defense or not. And when it comes to the grand scheme of things, especially the playoffs, and we have to make sure we understand this from a systemic perspective because of the fact that the racial
segregation. You know what an awesome zip code is? 07626. 07626 is the best zip code.
Has definitely hit us in a certain manner.
You ever heard of the straight Brookside?
We have to prevent.
Yeah, 270 Brookside in Crestkill, New Jersey.
Yeah, it sounds like a shithole.
He hung up as soon as I said it.
He just shit his pants. Great.
Maybe his dad got to him.
Oh, by the way, everybody, just please note that he
please leave
also...
your message for 201-567-4211.
He also wanted to talk about racism, so remember that.
Hey, John, I'm really glad you wanted to talk about racism and all that other stuff that you wanted to bring to my show here on Mega Powers Radio. I really hope things are doing well for you at 270 Brookside in Crestkill, New Jersey, 07626. And everyone could also let you know what they think about your opinions when they call you at 201-567-4211. Thank you for joining us here live on Mega Powers Radio. Take care, John.
Wow, I don't think we've ever fucked a caller over this bad who's trying to practice. Damn.
Still, though, out of everybody that we've called, we haven't gotten any drums, we haven't gotten any meatball parms, we haven't gotten any hookers, we haven't gotten anything. Like, these people are not very giving.
Mm-mm. Heck, we haven't even gotten Sophie to fuck her mama yet.
What the fuck? I mean, these people.
Best part about him, though, what's he gonna do? So I prank called this guy on their show that they was trying to do, and they called me back with stuff.
Oh, man. Oh, Jeff was like sitting on here this whole time. I wonder what he thinks about us doing this. If people think the stuff that we do to some of the other callers is bad, look at what we're doing now. This guy deserves it, though.
This is what happens when you try and be a prick.
Let me just say, we like JD and Jeff. Kind of.
Sort of in a weird way.
This guy. Fuck you, buddy.
I don't know. The way he's rolling with that won me over a little bit.
Like, in some other time, at some other place.
Yeah, maybe we could have been friends. Maybe. maybe he's just misunderstood. Maybe he's a lot like us.
Maybe he's not even John.
And if I want to phone him and like try and get to know him, what would the number be?
Well, I am glad you asked that, Mr. Steven, because if you wanted to reach John and let him know what you think about him and his time on the show, you could reach him at 201-567-4211.
Well, thank you.
Terrible.
Or if you're a fan who prefers snail mail or perhaps showing up in person at somebody's house, that's 270 Brookside Avenue in either Crestkill or Englewood, New Jersey. I'm not sure which one that is. I think they're both around the same area, so maybe it's one of those things where it's like both towns. Yeah.
Maybe that's the guy that Bray Wyatt's talking about.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So if I see this on the news about a SWAT inhabiting in this fucking place now, right? Yeah. I'm gonna change my Skype.
I don't think we have to worry about that, Sean. I mean, you survived the Muslims. I think you'll be okay with this guy.
Yeah. Some Muslim guy's listening and going, he did what?
Fucking Muslim.
He survived.
I lost 5 men.
This is the part of the show where everyone listening is like completely lost us.
You want to get lost even more? If they really wanted to kill off Sean, they should have sent him to a certain other place where people fuck off and die.
Oh. Oh, man. Interesting show we've had this week, guys. Always fun here on Mega Powers Radio. Never know what's going to happen. Who's going to show up? John, not John. John from New York City. JD, not JD. Next week's show is going to be even better, guys. We got the draft. We're going to have a steel cage match, apparently. Make sure you're here. It's going to be a pretty damn good time. All right, guys, 3 minutes left in the show here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. One last thing we got to do is give all the hosts here a chance to tell you a little bit about what else they got going on outside of the Raw Post Show. Drew, what you got going down, bro?
I got you can follow me at Twitter at DrewSivWhite, and you can also go to the YouTubes and find me at McFrickinDuncan. So do those two things, my loves.
All right. Sean is unfortunately seemed to having some connection issues just at plug time. If you cannot get back, I just want to tell you all to check out his YouTube channel, Happy Pope Gaming Productions, where he does some fun Let's Plays and some other cool stuff like that. So certainly check that out. Wago, what you got?
All right. To hear any of the podcasts I do, be it be on anime, just my general thoughts, or MMA, you can go to StephenWago.com to find all of that out. And at SteveWago is my Twitter handle.
By God. Saying, I learned a valuable lesson tonight. Call block.
Here's the thing. We will never do that to anyone that just wants to call in and share their opinion. But no. If you want to be a disruptive asshole, fuck you.
Honestly, I feel bad saying people's area code sometimes, but I have no other way to, distinguish you guys. So area code's not so bad. But, all right, Tony, round us out with plugs.
All right, guys, smarkoutmoment.com for the wrestling side of things, fanboysanonymous.com for the geek culture side of things, outonlimbs.com maybe? I don't know. But more importantly than Out on Limbs, the all-talk show, which we do randomly, and if you want to follow whenever we're going to do a live episode of that, make sure that you follow the Facebook account.
And I just so everyone knows, Out on Limbs is on the same schedule as Addicted to Anime.
All right,
maybe then. Worse.
Sean, I told him about Happy Pope Gaming, but you have anything else you want to throw out to the people out there?
No. 60 seconds.
All right.
That's that phone number one more time. So take it.
All right. Well, if you are bored at any time throughout the rest of this night, you know, we're going to be off the air, but the fun never has to stop. For a good time, dial 201-567-4211. That's 201-567-4211. And for the rest of the guys here, just going to tell you all that if you enjoyed this show, join us every single week here on MegaPowersRadio.com for the most interactive post-Raw experience available. You never know what the hell is going to happen. We're here live. MegaPowersRadio.com is the place to be. We're also available in archive form, though. If you can't be here live, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, and SmarkOutMoment.com, pretty much wherever podcasts are found. If you enjoy us, subscribe us, give us a good rating, and help us out find some new oil. Help us find some new listeners and all that stuff. For all the panelists here, we'll see y'all next week. Have a good night, folks.